Good morning. May it please the court. Counsel? My name is Mark Thieroff, and I represent the relators in this case, Went North LLC and Randy and Tammy Wenthold. Randy Wenthold is in the courtroom with us this morning. As the court is aware, this appeal arises out of a decision by the Wadena County Board of Commissioners to approve a conditional use permit for a shooting range on a site in the midst of a heavily used network of recreational trails, both inside and outside of the Huntersville State Forest. The State Forest actually surrounds the site on three sides. In granting that permit, the board ignored the fact that its own zoning ordinance doesn't permit a shooting range on this property. It overruled the finding of its own planning commission that there were inadequate measures in place to protect or to prevent nuisance-level noise conditions at the range, and it ignored the fact that the range does not meet applicable NRA design standards to prevent shot from leaving the site. Each of these failings is alone sufficient to reverse the decision of the Board of Commissioners, but we would submit to you that the zoning issue should be of particular concern to the court because it has statewide implications. The specific zoning issue in the case is whether a zoning authority has the power to consider any use whatsoever as eligible for a conditional use permit, even if that use hasn't been designated as a permissible conditional use in the zoning ordinance. The county maintains in this case that it has precisely that authority. Before discussing the law on the issue, I think it's worth pausing for a second just to consider how significant or, in fact, remarkable the county's argument is on this point. We've had conditional use permits in Minnesota for about 40 years, and so we've got 4 decades of case law on CUPs. And in that entire time period, it doesn't appear that a single one of Minnesota's 86 counties or its 800-plus cities or any of the dozens of townships with zoning ordinances has ever argued, much less convinced a court, that it has the power on a case-by-case basis without any objective standard at all to decide whether a particular use is eligible for a CUP.
So are you, I mean, the standards, of course, they have standards, but not, they're the standards that are in, is it ordinance 25 here? Do I have the number right?
That's correct, Your
right.
Honor.
Okay, but what you're arguing, I just want to clarify what you're arguing. Are you arguing that the ordinance, that we should strike down the provision of the ordinance that has the catch-all for other CUPs? Are you challenging the legality of the ordinance itself? Is that correct?
Of the catch-all provision.
Of the catch-all provision. And is that something within our authority to do in this case? Is that a quasi-legislative decision that has to be challenged differently than on a cert appeal?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. A challenge to a conditional use permit is a quasi-judicial challenge that's brought by writ of certiorari.
But you're asking us to actually strike a portion of the ordinance, I think. Is that correct?
Well, perhaps I get a little ahead of myself on that one. I don't believe it's necessary for the court to actually strike that part of the ordinance. What we're arguing is that that ordinance does not provide a lawful basis for issuing the conditional use permit in this case. Now, presumably, the county would take that guidance and fix its ordinance. But we have not asked, in terms of the specific relief that we're seeking in this case, that the court declare make a specific declaration regarding that ordinance.
Okay. But to find it on, but you're saying that it could not be relied on because we'd have to decide that it's illegal under the statute, that it's not authorized by the statute. It conflicts with the
yes,
statute.
Yes, the emphasis is on the county's action. We're arguing that the county has exceeded its authority under the statute by attempting to use this catch-all provision in this case to approve this conditional use permit. I think following up on that question, the place to start is with the statute itself. It's undisputed in this case that the county only has the powers that have been expressly granted to it by the legislature. And the conditional use permit, the enabling legislation, is found in Section 394.03, Section 1. And what this legislature set up there is a two-step process. The first step is that the county has to designate in its zoning ordinance, and do so by ordinance, those uses that are eligible for a conditional use permit. And then once it does that, it then has the authority to grant a conditional use permit for a use so designated if the applicant can meet all of the conditions set forth in the zoning ordinance. And that's both the general conditions, which are the ones, Judge Smith, that you referred to, that apply to all conditional use permits. And then there can be use-specific conditions in the ordinance as well. Here, there aren't any use-specific ordinances. They just simply apply the general ones. So Wadena County undertook the first step in that process and enacted a zoning ordinance that identified shooting ranges as a conditional use, but only in one particular zoning district, and that's this RA Recreation District. The property at issue here is not in the RA district. It's in the A2 Mixed Agriculture Forestry District, where shooting ranges are not included among the permitted conditional uses.
Why does it matter for the argument you're making that shooting ranges are listed under a different zone? How does that relate to whether the catch-all here would be lawful?
I see. Well, first of all, the fact that they are expressly permitted as conditional uses in the RA district, I think, is a strong indication that the county was aware that this is a use that may come up in their county, and they understood, well, we should figure out where we want to put those, and they made the legislative decision that we're going to allow people to ask for conditional use permits to pursue that use in the RA district and in the RA district alone.
Okay, so that's a question of construing then the ordinance. You're asking us to construe the ordinance to mean that a shooting range is only permitted in those other districts. Is that your point about it? The fact that they list them somewhere else means that that's the only place they intend to put them?
Well, that's not a necessary part of my argument, but I think that that holds true. And I think that as a matter of legislative construction, when a legislative body speaks to a topic and legislates as to where something can occur and doesn't put that same use in the provisions for another zoning district, that as a matter of statutory construction, we conclude that there was a decision not to put it there. So, yes.
So you said that's not a necessary part. So then go back to your argument then about why the fact that they put it somewhere else as permissible as a conditional use somewhere else matters with respect to this district and the provision under which it's the county proceeded here.
Yeah, the catch-all provision. The catch-all provision, which is in 7C15, says if a use is not listed or does not have a designated type of use, the use may be allowed in the district as a conditional use. So here the county, acting in its legislative capacity, has indicated basically, if we haven't put the use somewhere, you can ask for it here. Now, first of all, we don't think that that would apply just on its face because the county has designated a place where this use can be pursued, and that's the RA district. But even if the catch-all was intended to apply to the facts of this case, it's beyond the county's legislative authority to actually do that because the statute says first step is you identify all the uses that are allowed in the district. Second step is you can entertain and approve an application for a CUP if they meet the conditions.
Can I ask you a question? It's a little bit related but slightly off topic for you, Mr. Theroff, but I'm just looking at the ordinance, and that same catch-all language seems to appear in the A3, the General Agricultural District discussion as well. Are there any other areas where that appears? It doesn't seem to appear consistently.
It does not, Your Honor. It appears in three different zoning districts. They are three districts that relate to agricultural uses.
That's the way it appeared to me.
Yeah, that language doesn't appear anywhere else.
And does that have any bearing on your argument, the strength of your argument?
Well, I don't believe so. The county argues that that should be construed as evidence that the county isn't trying to allow anything anywhere but just in the agricultural districts. And first of all, our argument applies equally well there. They have to name the uses, at least by category, per statute. So there's that point, first of all. Second of all, there's no ambiguity in the fact that they put that language in three districts and not in the other six. So there's no basis to try to read intent or construe these ordinances because there's no ambiguity. And then lastly, I don't know how you read into the ordinance only these districts, which is what the county's trying to do, and notes that these happen to be agricultural districts and suggests that that's a basis for reading something into the ordinance that's simply not there.
I may not follow that. Reading what into the ordinance?
Reading into the ordinance that when the language says if a use is not listed or does not have a designated type of use, what it really means is if it's not listed in one of the three agriculturally related districts. But I don't want to get too bogged down into that because it doesn't really matter to us whether or not they intended this catch-all to apply here. We can concede the point that they intended that. They still don't have the legislative authority to use that catch-all to consider any use whatsoever without any objective standard on a case-by-case basis and say, oh, we'll consider this use for a CUP. No matter how controversial the use is or dangerous the use is, they can't do it. The legislature has not given them that power. My time is starting to diminish, and I did want to talk briefly about the noise issue. Now, under the zoning ordinance, the Planning Commission is not authorized to recommend the approval of a CUP unless it finds, quote, there are adequate measures have or will be taken to prevent or control offensive noise so that it will not constitute a nuisance. So the ordinance says you have to have a Planning Commission finding on that point. Here, we not only don't have a finding on that point, we have a negative finding. The Planning Commission found that there are not adequate measures in place. The Board of Commissioners somehow sort of amended that finding during its consideration, and we don't think there's any legal basis for them to have done that. But in any event, the point I really want to make sure is clear today is that regardless of which of these bodies considered it, there was no basis for either of them to find adequate measures were in place to prevent a noise nuisance because that finding was based on incomplete data. The applicant had hired an engineer to model the expected noise levels, and that engineer used the standards in Chapter 87A and Chapter 7030 of Minnesota Rules, which the applicant, the engineer, the Planning Commission, and the relators all agree are the applicable standards, and then modeled out the noise, but used only residential properties. Didn't consider at all the noise impacts on non-residential properties. And in the rules and regulations that we've cited in our brief, the rule is that you have to consider all uses. You can't just limit it to the residential uses.
The rule that you're citing is, you're referring to now is?
In 7030.0040 and .0050, each of the uses has what's called a noise area classification. And residential use is one. You can kind of think of it as activities get louder, the NAC number goes up. And recreational uses have a NAC number of two. I was hoping to look at these exhibits. I'm not going to have a chance this morning. But record document 46, page 3, has a map where Tammy Wenthold plotted for the Board of Commissioners seven other uses surrounding the shooting range site. Four of which were recreational trails. There were some agricultural uses. There were some facilities relating to the recreational trails and so forth. And she then took the contour lines, the noise contour lines that the expert had found, which is on page 7 of record document 46, and plotted those uses onto that map and determined that the expected DNL or decibels at each of those uses far exceeded what was allowed under Chapter 87A and the administrative rules that I cited before. So the Board of Commissioners relied specifically on that noise model, and it was incomplete and flawed. So therefore, the finding that there were adequate measures in place to prevent a noise nuisance was based on flawed and incomplete data, and the issue wasn't adequately and thoroughly studied to support that decision. Because there was no legal basis to grant the variances under the zoning ordinance and because the findings were not supported by the record, we respectfully request that the court reverse the decision of the Board of Commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Theroff. Counsel for respondent.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Kristen Nierengarten, and I represent respondent Wadena County in this matter. What relators are requesting in this case is that the court curb the county's zoning authority in either one of two ways. The first is to read a requirement into state law that doesn't exist, namely by saying that conditional uses must be explicitly listed in the zoning ordinance. Or second, by having the court rewrite the county's conditional use permit criteria and reweigh the evidence that's in the record of this particular conditional use in this case. On the first issue, relators contend that the county exceeded the delegated authority granted to it by the legislature in granting the conditional use permit for a shooting use in this case, for a shooting range. The county relied on Section 7C.15 of the Wadena County Zoning Ordinance in this case, which relators contend is not specific enough. The legislature, however, has not set any standards regarding the level of specificity required in conditional use permit ordinances. Instead, what the legislature has said in Minnesota Statutes Section 394.22 and Section 394.301 is that the counties may designate conditional uses and that conditional uses are set by ordinance. Those statutes do not say anything about the level of specificity that is required to be contained within the zoning ordinance when the county designates conditional uses. Instead, it leaves those decisions to the county to determine what works best for each individual county in zoning on a local level.
What does it mean when the statute says may designate certain types of developments?
It means
conditional uses. Excuse me.
It means that that the county can input particular uses within its zoning ordinances, but again, there is no guidance there about how specific it needs to be in this case. We're not dealing with a case in this particular grant of a conditional use permit. We're not dealing with a case where the county went off entirely outside of its zoning ordinance to say, yes, this particular use is allowed. Instead, the county looked within its zoning ordinance to see, okay, we have a provision under the conditional uses allowed in this particular zoning district that allows us to grant a conditional use in this case. So it is still going back to its language, the language contained within its zoning ordinance that designates that uses not specifically listed may be allowed, and finding that, okay, that incorporates and encompasses shooting ranges, so we can continue on in considering this conditional use. If the court were to accept the proposition that relators have set forth that each particular type of use must be enumerated very specifically or explicitly in the zoning ordinance, then this court is going to have to decide without any legislative guidance how specific each county has to be. There is nothing in the statute that says anything about that.
So your argument, just so I understand it, is that the language, the board may by ordinance designate certain types of developments as conditional uses, that the catch-all is in fact a designation of a certain type of development.
Correct.
Right? Okay, your argument doesn't turn on the word may, that they may do it, but they didn't do it here. You're saying they in fact did do it here.
They did do it here. And they left themselves the flexibility that the courts and the legislature has afforded them in designating particular conditional uses and in determining what conditional uses are best suited for that area. And if you look a little bit further into that statute, 394.301 subdivision 1, it recognizes that specificity in conditional uses might not always be practical, and it's okay with that. The legislature obviously is expressing an intent that that's okay if counties can't be super specific in their conditional uses. We'll allow them to move forward with that anyway. And again, if we turn to case law, Relators Council has said here, you know, there are decades of case law on conditional uses. The court's been considering them for the entire existence of this court, and the Supreme Court has been considering them as well. Case law is silent on the level of specificity that there has to be in a conditional use ordinance to make it valid.
I mean, I didn't see any case law that had a catch-all. There, I mean, that's part of the, I don't think anyone cited that, and we didn't find anything where we actually looked at whether a catch-all provision was.
And perhaps that's true, but at the same time, there's nothing that even delved into the question of, was this particular conditional use specifications good enough? There's nothing that delves into that issue. So essentially what relators are saying is that this court needs to wade into an entirely unaddressed area of law to make a new rule of law about what the legislature meant in granting authority to the counties. But again, even doing that would be contrary to the case law that this court and the Supreme Court have set forth, which says that conditional uses are meant to afford counties flexibility. The cases that look at conditional use permits that are cited by relators in their brief do so only in contrast. They contrast conditional uses with variances. And if you do that yourselves and you look at the statutes on that, you can see that the legislature intended for variances to be very narrow and used only in very particular circumstances as defined by statute in 394.27. In contrast, they don't set those types of strict rules about when conditional use permits may be designated or when they may be used by counties, because these are different zoning mechanisms. And that's what the courts are getting at, is that conditional use permits are meant to grant counties discretion and flexibility, and wide latitude is another terminology that the court has used in making zoning decisions particular to the county, particular to the area where that use is going to be situated. So while Section 7C.15 of the zoning ordinance may be broad, there is no authority requiring that a use be explicitly listed or that the ordinance language here is somehow insufficient under the law. So then turning to the second issue that relators bring up here, and I'm going to go a little bit more broadly than just the noise issue, but what relators want this court to do is impose a level of detail and ownership over law enforcement on the county that's not required by law. They contend that the county erred by not making certain findings and by allegedly not taking a, quote, hard look at the issues of whether shot will be contained on the property and whether noise could create disturbances off the property. And they essentially contend that the county erred by not finding that the proposed use will be in complete and total compliance with Minnesota statutes chapter 87A, and specifically that the county did not explicitly write into its findings that it would be in compliance with the NRA range source book and the MPCA noise standards that are referenced within Minnesota statute chapter 87A. This court, however, does not need to get bogged down in how chapter 87A standards apply in this case, because the county is not responsible for ensuring compliance with the law, with that law. All they are responsible for is ensuring compliance with their CUP criteria. And that's where relators would like this court to stray. They want the court to say, nope, county needs to determine conclusively that upon establishment, this use will be in total and complete compliance with the state law.
But so what is the standard that, I understand, of course, it's arbitrary and capricious, but how is that determined then in the county's view with respect to noise? I mean, it seems, you know, a noise study was done that is modeled after, well, correct me if I'm wrong, is a noise study done under the understand, like at least consistent with the way the noise standards that you say the county is not responsible for enforcing, but consistent with that methodology, and at least some of the noise standards, or the results exceed those noise standards. So it seems like sort of relying on a noise study that comports with those rules, and yet when it's out of compliance or doesn't meet those standards, county's position as well, doesn't have to. How does one evaluate what's arbitrary and capricious then?
The court evaluates that by looking at first at what do the criteria within the county's CUP requirements state. And in this case, the criteria ask the county and now the court to look at whether noise prevention measures are in place or will be in place, and then look at the record evidence to see if it supports the county's determination on that case. So yes, the county did look as one piece of the puzzle. The county looked at this noise study that was done under the auspice of being in compliance with the MPCA rules in this case. But that is not the standard to which the county has to hold itself. Instead, the county needs to determine, and did determine in this case, okay, can this use comply with our conditional use permit standards?
And what is the record evidence? What's the substantial evidence that it does?
There is in fact substantial evidence. So in this case, there is the noise study. So the noise study that shows that the noise will not exceed state standards at residences within the area. There is also the fact that
with residences within the area. That was true for all the residences within the area that
Correct.
Were studied, that it would meet that? And then what about the argument that I heard that residences are not the sole location for measuring noise?
And again, the county didn't stop there. The county didn't say, this is the be-all, end-all. We only look at this noise study. They went out and they did their own site visit. They did a shooting test. They went out to see, okay, here are other points where people identified that there might be issues. That included the state forest land that is adjacent to the property at issue here, the campground that's over there. It includes Relator's property. It included some other property. And the county went out and the planning commission did a visit and listened to what shooting sounded like on those properties. And with that and with other evidence in the record about the noise standards, about other noise in the area, about compatibility issues with there being other shooting in the area, there being other noise generated in the area, it was able to make an assessment about whether, in fact, its CUP criteria could be met in this case. And then, it did not stop there. It went one step further, and it said, okay, we're going to add some conditions onto this as well. And we're going to say that that clay dusters can only operate their shooting range at certain times. And it's not just certain times of day. It's certain days of the week. It's certain months. It's certain weekends where they can't operate because of uses in the area, such as the horseback riding annual events that happen in the state forest land. And the county said, we're also going to put restrictions on the types of guns and the types of ammunition that can be used here, and we're going to take away the option for them to use guns and ammunition that are known to create more noise and try to curb the noise based on that as well.
You're talking about conditions now. Does the standard that noise prevention... Again, identified for me the standard is that there would be noise. What's the standard that the county applied?
So the standard would be what is set forth in Section 21D of the conditional use, or excuse me, of the county zoning ordinance, and it says that there are adequate measures that have been or will be taken to prevent or control offensive odors, fumes, dust, noise, and vibration, so that it will not constitute a nuisance.
Okay, so that there will not be nuisance noise.
Right.
Okay, and so prior to the conditions, I think the things that you pointed to were the noise study and the shooting test. Apropos of the shooting test, was that done prior to the Planning Commission's findings?
Yes.
It was prior. And then the Planning Commission nevertheless checked no in terms of noise.
And
right?
And that's again where the court goes back and you look at the record as a whole. So what the county did was the Planning Commission did was they first engaged in a discussion about have these standards been met? And then they engaged in a discussion about conditions. So first they talked about, okay, does the information that we have in front of us meet these standards? And based on that discussion, I would argue even looking at the transcript, there's ambiguity. There's one member who says he voted no, but at the same no, it's not satisfied, but at the same time said actually he did accept the sound study and thought that it was satisfied. So there's some ambiguity there. But then you move on to the next step, and that's where the Planning Commission said, what conditions can we impose here to make sure that it is in compliance with the conditional use permit standards?
And then those, before we get to that, I know we're running out of time, but the evidence of other noise in the area, what difference does that make with respect to whether a proposed CUP actually will present a nuisance in terms of noise? Like, why should that matter?
I see I'm out of time. May I answer the question?
You may.
Thank you. The relevance that that has is one of the issues that the county always needs to be looking at in granting a conditional use permit is compatibility with the surrounding uses. And so when you're dealing with an environment that is not entirely silent, that is relevant to the issue of what constitutes a nuisance, because nuisance looks at use and enjoyment of property. And so if anyone in the area is already experiencing noise on their property from other factors, then that is relevant to that question of whether a nuisance would arise from this particular. So with that, the county would respectfully request that this court affirm its decision to grant the conditional use permit to the clay dusters in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nierengarten. Rebuttal, Mr. Thurman.
Thank you, Judge Hollenbrooks. The county wedded itself to the noise study. The Board of Commissioners, when it wholly inappropriately changed the Planning Commission's findings, it gave an explanation of its finding why it did. And it had expressly in there that they were convinced that the noise study showed compliance with the 8705 standards. So, Judge Smith, you're absolutely right that this other effort that they undertook, the site visit, the shooting, and so forth, the Planning Commission did that, listened to it all, and then promptly voted no. And there is no ambiguity in the vote. The chair records the vote. We've quoted it. It was 3-2. They voted against making that finding. And I want to be clear. I thought I heard counsel say that in answer to the question about what's the standard, that it has something to do with the noise level at the residences. That's not in the standard. In fact, the rules that we have cited say that the noise is to be measured at the location of the receiver. And the receiver in this area is everybody around. The agricultural uses, the recreational uses, and the residential uses. On the zoning issue, I heard an argument that there is no guidance to you on what is the level of specificity that you have to have in describing permissible conditional uses. You have all the guidance that you need, I believe, in this case, in the statute, which says certain types of uses. The catch-all clause does not identify a certain type of use. On the contrary, it identifies any type of use. You just cannot plausibly argue that there's no standard for you to apply. Moreover, we are not in any way arguing that a zoning ordinance has to enumerate every possible conceivable current or future use for that to be consistent with our argument. What we're saying is that you have to identify types of uses, and types of uses can be categories of uses. In this very ordinance, you have commercial outdoor recreation uses. That's a category. And then you might have a discussion in front of the Planning Commission as to whether your use meets that definition. Almost all the CUP cases that you get here at the court relating to these definitional issues are about specifically that. Does the proposed use fall into the category listed in the ordinance? The ordinance says outdoor storage. Does someone wanting to have a rental car business where they keep five cars outside constitute outdoor storage? But you have the type of use in the ordinance, and there's no question that you have to identify the certain type of use. On the flexibility point, addressed this in our reply, but I'll just hit it again briefly. We fully recognize that a CUP is a flexibility instrument, but the flexibility issue is not what council was describing. The flexibility is you use a conditional use permit to address uses that could be okay in a district, some locations, but not in others. Gas station is the classic example. most ordinances designate gas stations as conditional uses because they recognize that it's really impossible to say that a gas station would be appropriate at all locations in any given zoning district because you've got traffic issues, environmental issues, and so forth. So the CUP is a flexibility tool, but it's not the case that the CUP statute gives flexibility to just ad hoc pick whatever use you want to designate as a conditional use. In my last minute, I want to touch briefly on why this matters, this zoning issue. I would submit to you that if you accept the county's argument on the CUP issue, we will be turning Minnesota land use law on its head. Our zoning structure is a system based on prospective planning. Cities and counties adopt comprehensive plans to do the long-term vision for the jurisdiction, generally where they want to have what where. Then the city or county goes through its legislative process to determine specifically as to each property, what we want to have, where, what would be good for the whole community. And that's a product of study and public input and careful deliberation about the needs of the entire community. At the end of that process, what the community has is a finding by their legislators as to the uses where, because of their potential for negative impact, we wanted them to go through the conditional use process. That's not to say that you can just come in and they'll just decide that day, that's something that we'll consider as a conditional use. See, my time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Nierengarten. Case is well argued by both parties. It's been submitted. Thank you.